IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
12 minutes past the hour of 7. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 High FM. Lots to talk about. And in particular, we've been skirting around the issue and getting a lot of you send me information about ivermectin. I have to tell you, I do a lot of COVID education. I record podcasts. I talk about it, but I'm really not much of a medical person. So, it's interesting that as lay people, we have a very strong opinion, or we seem to have a very strong opinion about things like ivermectin. We would never in the past, as I said earlier, debate various types of chemo regimes when it comes to treating lymphoma or something like that. But when it comes to COVID, I guess because it affects so many of us around, so many people, and also because there does seem to be a knowledge gap within the medical fraternity because it's such a new illness and a new virus, we seem to be filling that gap, or we want to fill that gap, and we are obviously trying to understand as much as we can. I guess we're also looking for magical cures, which we think are out there. Is ivermectin one of those or not? Joining us on the line, Associate Professor Clinical Research at the University of KwaZulu-Natal, Professor Colleen Aldous. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. Thanks for taking the time to speak to us. It is interesting that have you ever encountered this before, where lay people are so strongly opinionated about a medicine or a medical process?
No, I've not experienced it before. I think this pandemic is bringing a lot of new behavior from all sides to light. Mm. And I think it's good. It's bringing debate. Debate is not only going to be stuck in ivory tower.
Yes.
The public are participating.
Yes. I think that's absolutely true up to a point. We can also be a bit silly because we engage sometimes in magical thinking, in that we think that there is a something out there, and big pharma or big something, this demon out there is trying to prevent people from getting well. And I think that can become quite dangerous if we become too emotional about possible cures when they might be real, but they might not be. So that is maybe the philosophical side of it. Let's just talk about ivermectin. Where are we in South Africa, and what are we seeing in terms of trials and in terms of responses to ivermectin, either in terms of prophylaxis or as a treatment to COVID?
A lot has happened since just before Christmas, when this ivermectin debate started. We have formed a group called the Ivermectin Interest Group, who are researchers and public health specialists and clinicians. And we responded to SAHPRA and have put in an application, a Section 21 application, to have ivermectin approved for use under clinical supervision. You're right about the emotions coming into things. The argument has become emotive from both sides, particularly in social media, and it is irresponsible. We don't want people taking ivermectin without being under the supervision of a doctor. Mm. And we've seen horrific things with people injecting themselves with veterinary products.
Oh, my gosh.
Et cetera. Yeah. So we don't want that happening. The other debate is continuing on the scientific evidence. We still have people, knowledgeable people, dismissing the drug because there's no randomized control trial, no double-blinded randomized control trial. But let's look at the practicality of this. A year ago, the word COVID-19 had not yet been invented. We did not have the time to think about doing clinical trials on every drug that had potential to be repurposed.
Right.
In about April, May last year in at Monash University in Melbourne. They did an experiment looking at drugs that could possibly be repurposed and found that ivermectin did kill the virus in cell lines, laboratory cell lines at high doses. Now people are continuing, and this is what amazes me, knowledgeable people are continuing to say that for humans to have the same concentrations would be lethal. That was an experiment in a petri dish just to show whether ivermectin worked or didn't. They showed that it did work. We never ever said that those concentrations would be required in the human.
Right.
And what's important is that this drug has a very wide safety profile. Mm-hmm. It's been used for many years in humans, but for parasite diseases. It's been used in the developing world, in the tropical areas for tropical diseases, and has been quoted in the literature as being a miracle drug, but earlier on in the last decade. And so let's look at the context of why it was called a miracle drug then, over 10 years ago. It cures river blindness. So if you go into some areas where half the population in a village is blind because of a parasitic disease, and you give them ivermectin and they can see, then wouldn't anybody want to call that a miracle drug?
Unbelievable.
And it's used to cure blindness.
Yeah.
I've seen people in the press saying they're scared it's going to cause blindness. That just hasn't happened. It happened when I looked at the VigiBase, which is the adverse reactions database at the WHO. One patient reported blindness, and we have no idea if that was linked to the drug or not. But one out of 1,500 odd adverse reactions of over 3.7 billion doses. I think if we do the math, it's not going to cause blindness.
Right. So very clearly, if it is managed and supervised properly, it's not going to be a dangerous drug to use. The question is, I guess, I think there are a number of questions, but the first question is why there is resistance to the legalization of ivermectin, given the fact especially that we have no real confidence as to when the vaccine is going to come to South Africa, which means that we are possibly more desperate for alternative remedies if it works. So we know that it might not be harmful if it's supervised correctly. But I guess the two questions that I have is, why is there resistance to it? And number two, possibly more importantly, is does it actually work for COVID? Never mind the fact that it won't do harm.
Oh, I'd love to answer both those questions. Your first question about resistance. I just think that many people have not engaged with the literature properly. We've had an entire century behind us where there were some medical atrocities. We had the Holocaust. We had the Nuremberg trials after that brought together those ghastly experiments. We had the Tuskegee episode. We had thalidomide. So scientific rigor has developed quite largely over the last century. And it's come to be understood by researchers and clinicians that a double-blinded, randomized controlled trial is the gold standard for research. And that takes a lot of time and a lot of money. And now ivermectin does not belong to a specific company anymore. It's out of patent. It can be made anywhere in the world, and it can be made very cheaply. So which company is going to invest the millions of rands required to do a double-blind randomized control trial now? The other thing about a double-blind randomized control now is it'll take us months to do that in South Africa if we found the funding. And there are donors who said they would provide the funding, but it's going to take us months to get over it. We're anticipating a third wave later on in the year as we change seasons. We don't have time for that. And if you look at the trials that have been done across the globe, mostly from developing world countries where the drug has been available for human use, if you look at those trials together in a meta-analysis, then we are getting some data that shows us that there is potential in this drug. And it's Andrew Hill's work where they've really taken every single published and unpublished trial that they've access to and interrogated the data and looked at outpoints that cannot be subjective. And the criticism from people who are dismissing the drug based on the fact that there's no randomized controlled trial are criticizing the studies that do exist on because they've been small studies.
Mm. Yeah, one doctor that I spoke to said, I think the latest study, or one of them that came out just in the last few days, did show positive results, but it was only 12 people, something like that. And then, it is being dismissed on that basis. It's, I have seen that as a trend.
Yes, but they have not engaged with the methodologies that are used, particularly by Andrew Hill and his team, where they take the participant data and they interrogate it at a very fine level. So it's not a garbage in, garbage out principle, which a lot of people are dismissing this on. And let's have a look at why the studies that have come to light so far are weak. It's because people were they were researching on the fly. They were not thinking about, let's get this one drug going here. They were looking at what works in their situation. And they were publishing as soon as they saw any positive trend. And there have been some studies that have shown no effect. And in fact, there's one study that shows a negative effect. But if you read the paper and read their conclusions, they think that there's something wrong with their study. But these studies are all there to be seen on clinicaltrials.gov website. There are over 50 there at the moment. 18 have currently been used in Andrew Hill's meta-analysis, which should be on YouTube very soon. But having looked at that data in detail, it's very clear that there is a positive trend. There is definitely a drop in mortality. I think the confidence intervals, I said there's a drop of mortality of 70% with a confidence interval of something like 48%. To 83%. And I'd buy that, even at the lowest confidence interval, I'd buy that. And I honestly think we have enough evidence on those 18 trials for somebody to look at the costs of giving ivermectin out now and it proves not to work later. So the cost would be the cost of the drug.
Which
and the
isn't
fact
expensive.
It's got safety shit, the safety profile is not dangerous.
Right. So why are then the resistance?
What are the costs if you don't give it now and it does prove to be working in 3 or 4 months? What about those lives lost? So I think there's enough for regulatory bodies to make a judgment based on the alpha error.
So why is there resistance there? I mean, I think people resisting
are not looking at the data properly. Yeah.
And Clive wants to know, is it politics? Is there politics at play here?
I'm a pure scientist. I like to not think that I think politics. It may be. I think that our group, the IIG, have decided we're just going to keep fighting at science level. We're going to keep giving people science.
I think that's right. I don't think that there's an alternative because, and that's what I was referring to before about this emotive stuff. Politics and emotions are very, very closely linked. And the minute you step into that area, it just science is out the window. And in fact, science loses to that discussion because, you can't win. So in other words, what you have to keep doing is just going through the data. Are you hopeful that ivermectin will be introduced or will be legalized in South Africa for use on COVID patients or human patients?
I really am hopeful because I want to see the black market stop. I've heard horrific cases of capsules being sold at 10,000 Rand for 10 or at 2,000 Rand a tablet. It's just immoral. We don't know that those are legitimate medications. They could be fake. I would like to see the black market fall away. I would like to see people stop taking it without medical supervision because that could be dangerous. I don't want to see people injecting themselves with veterinary medicines. So from that point of view, I would like to see ivermectin being brought into the treatment regimens. I'd also like to see it brought into the treatment regimens because I do believe, looking at the data that I've seen so far, with 18 trials and nearly 2,500 participants, that there definitely is a reduction in mortality. Mm. There definitely is a reduction in the viremic stage, which means transmissibility is reduced. I think it would have a big impact on the pandemic, and it's not competing with a vaccine. We still need the vaccine.
Absolutely.
But yes, the vaccine is some time away. We need something in between.
So what's interesting is that I don't want to read the name of the listener just to protect their identity, but what the listener is saying is, my neighbor is a doctor and her family was COVID positive. They used ivermectin plus zinc and vitamins. They're all clear. A recent Australian study showed it was effective. It costs equivalent of R1.20, but because of the ban on the tablets, it's trading at R120 a tablet at the moment, and doses for per patient per weight is around about two tablets. So it's exactly what you're saying, that it's going to start happening, but it's now uncontrolled. We don't know the quality of that medicine. There's a black market for it, which is just absolutely appalling.
Yeah, I agree with you.
A very, very interesting conversation, and I do want to check in with you to continue to check in with you to see how it is going, what the studies are showing from a research perspective, and how we are getting along in terms of the legalizing of ivermectin. I've been chatting with Associate Professor and Geneticist and Clinical Research at the University of KwaZulu-Natal, Professor Colleen Elders. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.